We are looking at Colossians chapter 3, and we are halfway through this book. Paul has been writing to the Colossae church, and he's been confronting the lies of the false teachers. These false teachers were trying to influence them, get them to believe that Jesus isn't enough. There's more that you need to do. And Paul has spent the first half of this book magnifying that Christ is our all in all. When you have the person of Christ, you have everything. You are complete in Him. Nothing else is necessary. And when you understand that, when you know who Jesus is, you can smell out a heretic 10 miles away, because a false teacher is going to try to convince you that Jesus isn't enough. And we just need to get into the real thing, who Jesus actually is and what Jesus says about himself, what the scripture from the Old Testament all the way through the book of Revelation talks of, what speaks about the person of Christ. He is our everything. And so now we come to the second half of the book. And when Paul writes a letter, typically the first half of the book deals with theology, and the second half of the book deals with practical application. Now that you know these things, how are you to live your life in the culture today? And God has been dealing with my heart over this text this morning. And I approach this text, I come to you with fear and trembling. Because God has been dealing with me. God has exposed in my heart some blind spots, some idols that I've been embracing that I need to set aside and learn to behave and walk as a citizen of His kingdom. So we're going to be looking at this text this morning. Paul talks about the fact that we need to be seeking things above, not the things of this earth. If your life is in Christ, your citizenship, my citizenship, is above. Okay, that's our home. That's where we're heading to. That's who we represent here. We are ambassadors here. We are residents here, but our citizenship is in heaven. And so we need, what does it look like to be His representatives, His ambassadors in this culture today? And so Paul's going to be dealing with some characteristics of what that citizenship looks like. And have you seen the TV show What Not to Wear? Is that show still on, What Not to Wear? How many have seen that show before, What Not to Wear? Okay, only some of you. Okay, it was a fun show to watch. And in its popularity day, I came home from church one Saturday night. My wife was a heathen that day and didn't go to church that night. What? You're welcome. I don't know what she was doing, but I came home. So I got myself dressed for church. I went to church. I spoke publicly in church. And when I came home from church, my wife looked at me like deer's in a headlight. And she said out loud, "Did you wear that to church?" And she started laughing hysterically. You know, I thought I looked fine, but apparently she thought I looked like a... She couldn't believe I had gone out in public wearing that. Well, Paul is telling us in this passage of Scripture this morning that there are some things as citizens that we are not to wear, that we are to take off. And in a couple weeks, we're going to come back together, and he's going to talk about things that we need to put on. But this morning, we're going to be looking at the negative. what we need to get out of our wardrobe, because we're citizens of the kingdom now. So let's look at chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, okay? If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above and not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Don't lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. God, open our eyes to this text. Help us to see what you see and then live out accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul tells us three things that we need to take off. The first we see in verses 5 through 7. Well, before I get into that, let me just say this. We are citizens of the kingdom, but we are residents here. And as residents here, our culture dramatically influences how we behave, how we think, what we see, how we interpret what we see, interpret what we experience. And Paul is saying that now that our lives are hidden in Christ, we belong to him, that we need to be setting our mind on things above rather than the culture around us influencing the things that we should be wearing, the things that we should be thinking, the things that we, or the life that we should be living out. Paul says, set your mind on things above. And when we're setting our mind on things above, we're going to be more sensitive to what's not appropriate. Okay? And the first thing that we need to take off, Paul says, he talks about sexual immorality. He's talking about sexual sins. Because you're citizens of the kingdom of heaven, verses 5 through 7, you need to remove the clothes of sexual sin. And when he talks about removing the clothes, he's not just treating it lightly, church. He says in verse 5, put to death. Put to death what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Don't be wearing dead men's clothes anymore. Okay? You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You need to be clothing yourself appropriately. Now, look at the list. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness. Do you see those things going on today? That's an audience participation question, okay? Do you see those things going on today? Yeah, there is a lot of perversion going on today. You could watch TV at night, and you could watch a night of television, and you can see more perversion in one night than our grandparents saw in their entire lifetime. I mean, our culture, especially in the United States of America, this list defines where we live today and who we are, what other nations see in this country. And that's what happens when we deny that there is a Creator God who wants us to live a particular way, where we don't believe that we are His image bearers, that we have been created by Him. When we rebel against that, or we live in denial about that, you know what? It creates a whole lot of confusion in the culture. And how much confusion do we see in the area of sexuality today? And it is all because of the fruit of denying that there is a God, that a God does not exist. We love to parade our perversion. The raunchier, the more perverted, the more celebrated it becomes. And the world today, our culture today, says we don't, as believers, as Christians, we shouldn't just tolerate them, but we should embrace them. We should celebrate them. No, God says to love our enemy, but speak the truth in love. We don't embrace their lifestyle. But Paul mentions sexual immorality. That word for sexual immorality is porneia. It's where we get our word pornography. And it's describing all kinds of sexuality experiences outside of marriage. Impurity, that deals with one's thought life, deals with one's words, with coarse jesting and actions. Passions, that deals with the lust, and it deals with the strong heart desires of illicit sex. Evil desires has to do with lust as well, but it has more to do with the lust of the heart. Passion is wanting to act out on the lust of the heart. Lust is the physical side. The evil desire is the mental side. And then Paul talks about covetousness. You know, coveting these things that the world is doing. When you see the word covetousness in the Old Testament, one of the Ten Commandments, the Tenth Commandment says, don't covet your neighbor's wife, okay? Don't long for something that doesn't belong to you, that isn't for you. When we covet things, those things become an idol in our life. And as idols, we begin to worship those things. Idolatry is anything that we put ahead of God. God wants to be number one in our life. He wants to be our highest priority. He's jealous about this for our life. And the reason why he's jealous about this is not because he's struggling with self-esteem and needs our worship. No, he knows that this is what is best for our life, as you worship Him, as He's the highest priority of your life, there is going to be a multitude of blessings that will follow that kind of lifestyle. But when you reject who He is and put other gods before Him, then we have all kinds of perversion and confusion and chaos happening in our own personal life and in our culture, in our community around us. Paul tells us to put this to death. Why? Doesn't that sound a bit extreme, Paul? Put it to death. And the reason why he tells us to put it to death, because in verse 6, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. The wrath of God is coming upon those who practice such a lifestyle. Now, we know that Jesus took all the wrath that we deserved upon Himself on the cross. And that is very true. But the Bible also says that God is very patient in His wrath, and that His wrath is being stored up at the end of time. And His wrath is going to be poured out, not on His children, but on all those who have rebelled against His word, have lived their lives contrary to His word and faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says God's wrath is coming. Get off the tracks. The train is coming. And maybe you're here today and you're thinking, boy, you know, I'm living between the tracks. Life's pretty good for me, Pastor. You know, I don't hear any horns behind me. It's coming. And I know that this is not a popular message today, but it is true. And Paul is urging us in this passage of Scripture, if your life is hidden in Christ, don't wear certain things. Take off that kind of wardrobe. And I know young people are hearing this message and say, oh, Pastor, that's the problem with Christianity. You know, we can't have any fun. You know, I see all my friends participating in all these things, and you're telling me as a Christian that I can't participate in those things? I'm going to look like a weirdo. I'm going to be the outsider looking in. I'm going to be really nerdy. And I tell you, I know. I know. You're going to stand out. You're going to be different. But you know what? It was no different in this first century text. The Gnostics were saying, if you want to be really close to God, you got to participate with the temple prostitutes in worship. You do what they want you to do, you'll be closer to God. That was the cults. That was the thinking of the people all around them. And Paul is saying, no, don't participate in that kind of lifestyle. God wants to protect you. God wants to bless you. I heard a pastor talk about the fact that when he was growing up, he was really poor. And he got one pair of shoes a year. And there was one year that one of his shoes was falling apart. And he wasn't going to get a new pair of shoes. And so he got some super glue. He heard about this super glue when it first came out. And he decided he was going to use that super glue. He read the label and he said, you know, it says not to ingest it. So he didn't ingest it. But he didn't pay attention to the rest of the label. And he used all that super glue. You know, it's just a tiny tube, yeah, thank you. He put all that super glue on the end of his shoe, then he took his hands, his fingers, and he pressed the leather together, and he held it there until he thought it was dry. And then he went to release his fingers from the shoe, and his fingers would not release from the shoe. And he panicked, and he finally pried his fingers apart from the shoe. And when he pried his fingers apart, the skin of his fingers had bonded to his shoe. And part of his skin was left on his shoe. Young people, that's what happens when we give ourselves emotionally and physically, sexually, in a relationship outside of marriage. Most likely that relationship is not going to last. And it's not going to be an easy breakup. And when you break up with that person, you leave a little bit of your flesh with them. You leave a portion of who you are. That is not an easy breakup. And I haven't seen this statistic in a long time. But I read one time years ago that the average young person, the average, will fall in love with 6 different people. You'll find someone, you'll go out with someone for a period of time, and you're thinking, this person is it. I have found my soulmate. And if you bond yourself with this individual, that's most likely to happen on the average 6 different times. And that's one of the reasons why the suicide rate is so high among young people, because they've given themselves, they've bonded themselves to somebody else when God never intended you to be bonded to that person. You know, maybe you're here this morning, you're thinking, Pastor, I like this kind of lifestyle, but it's just all about hooking up. You know, it's not about a relationship. It's just about hooking up and just enjoying each other occasionally or whatever. And if that's your thought life, your conscience is seared. God has given you over to the desires of your heart. And it's not going to go well for you. Get off the tracks. The train is coming. There is a far better life that God has in store for you if you'll surrender your heart to Jesus Christ. And yeah, you might stand out for a while, but God will give you the desires of your heart. I'm excited about what's happening in Kyle's life. And I can't go into a whole lot because you'll text him if I say anything. But Kyle has saved himself. He's been waiting for God's best. I'm thinking that God's honoring that prayer now. Oh. Didn't think I was going to go there. Don't say anything to your brother. Oh yeah, we're Facebook Live, aren't we? Okay. I surrender. Second thing we're supposed to take off. The clothes of destructive emotions. No, I'm okay. the close of destructive emotions. Let's look at the list again. Verse 8. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Look at that list. How many of you would say that this list describes our culture today? That's an audience participation question. Do you see this list today? Yes, we do, don't we? We see it every single day on talk shows. It's crazy how divisive we are with one another today. You can throw out a topic and you can just watch the piranhas from every camp just come and just devour each other. This is the wardrobe. This is how the world is behaving. And whether the subject is political or social or moral or spiritual, we are at each other's throats. This is the culture. This is what's happening in our nation. And Paul is telling us, church, don't get involved with that. Set your mind on things above. Don't wear those kinds of clothes. Put it to death. Take it off. Put on the new clothes, he says in verse 10. What do those clothes look like? Let's go to verses 12 through 15. I'm just going to read it. We're going to talk about it next week. But these are the clothes that we need to put on. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Do we wear those kinds of clothes when we disagree with somebody on the other side of the issue? I don't know about you, for you, but for me, I want to be understood before I attempt to understand. Paul is saying that is the wrong approach. So how do we get out of this vicious cycle and not behave like the culture around us? Verse 10, Paul says, put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. We need to renew our mind. We need to set our mind above. We are God's image bearers here on this planet. We are His ambassadors, and we are to live our lives a particular way. I like what this pastor in Florida, the illustration he gave about the hand from this text. You know, the Bible, Paul tells us that our lives are now hidden in Christ. Okay? Gonna get to the Tupperware again in a few minutes, but our lives are hidden in Christ. And what that means is I'm the thumb and I have to lay my life down. I have to rest in Jesus. Jesus is the palm. Jesus is the rest of the hand. I have to lay my life down in Him. I am hidden in Christ. And when I am hidden in Christ, Christ surrounds me. I'm living a life of trust. People aren't supposed to see you. People aren't supposed to see me. You know, kind of hard to see you in this Tupperware illustration. You know, you're in there, but your life is hidden in Christ. When we live that way, we live in peace. But if we don't rest in Him, if we don't sacrifice ourselves and trust Him, then what happens? We're on the outside. And we want to fight. We want to get our point across. And we just want to maintain these walls and defend what we are convicted in. The Bible says we were hidden in Christ. We died in Christ. We were baptized and we were resurrected with Christ. You know, go back to Lazarus. When Jesus went to his friend Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days and resurrected him from the grave, the Bible says that Lazarus still had his death clothes on. And people are saying, hey, he stinks. And Jesus instructed those who would watch Lazarus raised from the grave, remove the grave clothes. Because what's under the grave clothes, he's alive. That's Lazarus. Church, we need to remove the dead men's clothes. And as we renew our minds and we set our mind on the citizen lifestyle and the new clothes that we are to put on, guess what? We are God's image bearers. And we treat others as if they've been created in the image of God. Our allegiance, our citizenship is in heaven. Which brings me to my third point. We remove sexual sins. We remove destructive emotions that hurt others. But number three, we remove clothes of earthly identity. Of earthly identity. Write this down. Who we think we are determines what we continue to think and do. Who we think we are determines what we continue to think and do. Paul says, set our minds on things above, verse 2. We are his image bearers, verse 10. We have a new identity. Remove the clothes of earthly identity. What our culture, who our culture says we are, that's not who we are. We need to think, we need to set our minds on things above. We are citizens of God's kingdom. We are his ambassadors. Our allegiance, our citizenship is above, not below. Culture says, I'm an American citizen. The Bible says, I'm an American resident and a kingdom citizen. And there's a big difference. And I am an American resident. And yes, I understand what the Constitution says. I know what my driver's license says. And I'm a citizen of the United States of America. But that's not where my real citizenship is. If you've been buried with Christ, and you've been raised with Christ, the Bible says you are in Christ and you are at the right hand of the Father. And you represent, and I represent, His kingdom. And I am to behave a certain way. I am to think a certain way. And I am to take off this earthly identity and wear and be who He says I am. I am a kingdom of heaven. I am a citizen of heaven. But so often, Christians allow the culture around us encourage us to conform to the earthly identity. And that identity, you know, there's all kinds of American citizens that live in this country today. And according to how you were raised, you know, the things that you've experienced in life have determined or help you interpret what you see around you. And I'm the same way. I have a certain perspective about things. I have certain convictions as an American resident that I've idolized. And if I idolize something, I have a tendency of demonizing it in somebody who doesn't think or believe as I do. Let me go to the text. I forgot to read verse 11. Let's read verse 11. Paul says, here, talking about the first century church and that community where they existed, here, there is not Greek and Jew and circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. Look at the list. Paul mentions groups of people who are in conflict with each other, who don't like each other. And there are walls that people cannot and will not penetrate because they disagree. And they are wearing clothing that is not representative of the kingdom. And there's all kinds of walls, but look what Paul says. Paul says, here, that doesn't exist. In the church, that doesn't exist. Okay, so here's another audience participation question. Okay? I'm not sure that this list exists today. You could probably find some here, okay? But what would the list be today that are in conflict with each other? Who would Paul mention? Republicans and Democrats. That would be a good one. Black and white. What's that? Gays and straight. Abortion and, okay, pro-life and pro-death, okay? Men and women. Men and women. Hey, here's another one, church. And we're getting ready to go to this on May the 6th. Contemporary and traditional. I was in the video venue a moment ago. I let them know that on May the 6th, we're going to come together and we're going to be one worship service. The elders last Saturday went through the survey, and we heard you real loud and clear. And one of the top issues was the fact that people see us, or people in our church see us, as two different churches. And we're not unified. And that's perception in our community. And so we're going to come together as one. And we're calling it a worship service. It's not a blended service. It's not a contemporary service. It's a blended service. Or I'm see? All right. It is a worship service. And so in this worship service, there's going to be things that sound familiar to you. There's going to be things in the service that are going to sound familiar to them. But it's going to be all about Jesus. We're going to be magnifying Jesus. It is rooted in Christ. It is all about the gospel. It is all about the cross. It is all about the grace of God. That's who we are to glorify. But there's different camps that Paul's talking about here. Paul is saying to us today in Ridgecrest, California, here, it is not that way. How can it stop from being that way? How can I get out of idolizing what is important to me and demonizing people who disagree with me? How do I stop that vicious cycle? Paul says, don't look at your differences. Your life is hidden in Christ. Christ is in all. Christ is all. Our identity, your identity, it's all about Christ. Can you see you in here? Some of you, if this is your first time, no, you don't even know what I'm talking about. But, okay, the outside container is God, okay? And Christ is in God, and we are in Christ. And then here is Christ, okay, who is in God. And then here's you, okay? We don't look very pretty, but this is you. And duct tapes around it, okay? Because the Bible says that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And so when we receive Christ, when Christ is in us, Christ is in us and he's not getting out. And we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And then our lives are in Christ and Christ is in God. And to break down the walls, to learn to get together, and see Christ rather than our differences, I've got to be a kingdom citizen. And I've got to be willing to humble myself and realize that there might be idols in my life that I've been allowing to stay there, that I've been worshiping, and it has been allowing me to demonize somebody else who believes differently than me. And my world was rocked Friday morning. Over the last couple years, I'm not going to get into the issue, but I was seeing something taking place in our culture, and that was my idol. That was what was important to me. And I saw people disrespecting my idol. I was demonizing them. Never did I think that, well, maybe I need to get together with somebody who's different from me, who sees things different from me, has experienced things different from me, and just say, would you tell me your story? And so Friday morning, I had heard a message by a gifted communicator, Matt Chandler, and I felt like I was kicked in the gut. And my wife and I, Susan knew, we both knew this a couple in our community. I knew the husband. She knew the wife. She had her phone number. And she suggested, well, let's get together with this African-American couple and let's just hear their story. Because they're really hurting right now. They've been going through a lot. So we got together Friday night. And you know, they see things. I mean, this is a couple who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. They go to a different church, but that church loves Jesus. I know the pastor of that church. They preach the gospel. But they see things differently than I see them because of how they have been raised in their culture. They've experienced things I have never experienced. And so they interpret things a little bit differently. And because they've been kind of disrespecting my idols, my idol, I have thought very negatively about their behavior. Paul says, here in God's church, these walls don't exist. How do these walls come down? Well, for me, I had to humble myself. And I had to choose to listen rather than be understood. And I see Jesus in them. They love the Lord Jesus Christ. They probably don't vote as I vote. They don't probably believe all the things that I believe. They perceive things differently. But folks, Paul says, but Christ is all and in all. And instead of looking at our differences and our idols, we set our idols aside and we start seeing Christ in everyone. And as we start focusing on Christ who is in us, you know what? Democrats and Republicans will come closer to Jesus and closer to each other. Blacks and whites will come closer to each other as they come to Jesus. Young and old, contemporary and traditional, and what any other camps that have been divided will just grow closer to each other. Because it's all about Jesus. But that can't happen if we're wearing the clothes of the world. And so I had to apologize. And I'm going to stop boycotting a particular event. Because I want to seek to understand before being understood. This is what the church is to be all about. The church is the front door of the kingdom of God. We are American residents and citizens of God's kingdom. if you don't agree with me, I just want to encourage you to go back and meditate on this scripture. Because I don't think I'm pulling it out of context. I think I've built a bridge from the first century to today. And that's my responsibility. God's call on my life is to afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted. Church, we need to be kingdom citizens and behave appropriately. And I've got a long ways to go. And as long as we approach this with humility and grace and forgiveness and love, and we're going to get all into all that in 2 weeks. Next week, I'm going to be at the men's retreat with the men. Carson Sween is going to be preaching next Sunday. Don't miss next Sunday. You will love Carson, okay? And then we'll get back to this list of what to wear in 2 weeks. Let's pray. Oh. God, I've poured out my heart. I know it's not a popular message. It's not a message that we have probably thought about because we're so wrapped up in this culture and see things and have experienced things a certain way that, God, doesn't necessarily reflect your kingdom. Help us to be you, Jesus. You are attractive to everybody except for the self-righteous. God, keep us from being self-righteous. Humble us. Help us be you today, tomorrow. God, that our lives, that our church might glorify you. God, I truly believe if we live this kind of way, the church is going to be more attractive to the world. Because it's all about you, Jesus, because they see Jesus. They don't see us. God, help us to be who you want us to be.